I'm Doris Lane Meyer. I have a nickname, Coke, and more people in Oklahoma call me Coke than they do Doris. I was born in Chelsea, Oklahoma, Rogers County. That was named for my grandfather, Clem Van Rogers. I was born November the 12th, 1919. So I'm getting along in years, young people.
89 years old now.
Yes.
Just celebrated your birthday.
Yes, I have.
And tell us where we are today.
Today we're in the Lodge House at the gate of the Will Rogers Memorial in Claymore, Oklahoma. This memorial was built by the Oklahoma people after Will Rogers was killed in a plane accident in Alaska. He was killed in 1935, and this beautiful limestone building was built and opened in 1938.
Today it's being used for guests.
This lodge is used for guests and people that come to study Will Rogers' life legacy here at the memorial, and they give it as a courtesy, and then the people give them something back instead of having motels.
Tell us then, how are you directly related to Will Rogers?
My grandmother, Maud Rogers, was the second daughter of Clem and Mary America Scrimshire Rogers. Will was their baby boy and the last of their eight children. So my grandmother and Will were brother and sister. But she was almost like a second mother to him, because when his mother died and he was 10 years old, then he wasn't happy out at the ranch without his mother there. So he spent a lot of time in Chelsea, Oklahoma. Well, it was Indian Territory still. He lived with his sister Sally. She was the oldest, Sally Rogers McSpadden. And then my grandmother Maud was next, and then Will was the baby. They kind of helped see to him always and considered him their family. He wasn't only a little brother. He was just really one of their children, the way that they brought him up.
He loved his mother, but when his father remarried,
it wasn't as happy,
and he married
the place of his mother.
Right. So then he was really raised, not by his father.
Not that much, no. No, he paid bills to send him to school and all, but he really turned it over to the two older daughters to do a lot of that early development and raising of Will.
Where did Will Rogers go to school?
He went to school out of Ulaga there first, and then at 10 years old, he went to Chelsea, and he went to a little school 4.5 miles from Aunt Sally's home. He rode his pony, and that was called Drumgool School. Drumgool was a Cherokee family name, and they had the subscription school on their land, and so it got that name.
Was that in elementary? Was it middle school? Or
it was probably, I don't know, maybe like third or fourth grade now.
All right. So then he went on to what other school?
Then later he went to the William Hawks School, and then he went to another one, and then he ended up at the Kemper Military School over in Missouri. That was his last formal education.
Through high school?
Well, no.
Or eighth grade?
It would probably be eighth grade or maybe ninth grade.
Why didn't he continue on with further schooling?
Well, he was very bored with it, and he got in trouble all the time because he was always using his rope and doing something he shouldn't. He learned so fast that he was bored with school. He'd get the lesson and retain it, and then he didn't want to sit there and work and act like he was busy. So he'd get busy doing mischief.
I hear you.
He said he had more merits than he could ever work off. So he wrote his sisters and said how bad he needed $10. And they didn't know each of them had gotten a letter with that same thing. And he got his $20, and he had a little money with him. And he took out for Amarillo, Texas, to go to the XIT ranch that was owned by Ewan Halsa. Ewan Halsa was a good friend of his dad's. And when he got there, why, they recognized him and knew who he was. And he said he came out to get a job. So they hired him on at $30 a month, room and board. He stayed in the bunkhouse just like all the other cowboys. And he worked every day on that ranch. Mr. Halsall wrote Will's dad here in Claymore and said that he was there and what should he do? And he said, just let him keep working, see how hard it is to be a cowboy.
I guess to make sure, see whether or not he really liked that or not.
Right, yeah.
So how long did he last on the ranch?
I'm not sure of dates or any length of time. He came back from out there, and he went back out to the home place ranch. Some tenants were in there that Grandpa had put there. He didn't like living there with them, and she wasn't a very good cook anyway. So he and his cousin, Spike Trent, built a cabin on the ranch. They fixed the cabin and a little corral for their ponies. They were living out there, and they had a pot of beans boiling all the time. And then they were running around, and he was dancing and doing rodeoing a little bit, just having a pretty good time. Also, while they were there, one morning Spike was getting breakfast, and Will was supposed to go get the water and bring it back, and he didn't come back, and he didn't come back. Spike went down to the corral and said, Will, what in the world are you stalling around about? He said, well, I'm teaching Comanche, my pony, how to open the gate, so I can just whistle for him, and he'll open the gate and come, and I won't have to walk down here. Spike said, I doubt that'll ever work, but come on and eat. So he gave up on the pony and left and went up and ate. Then a day or two after that, there was a terrible prairie fire. They saw the smoke, so they ran over there to help fight the fire with the neighbors that were over there already. Then the fire got out of control and started toward their cabin and the corral, and his horses were in there. He worried about that, so he said, I'm leaving. And he ran back toward the cabin and the corral. He got back there, and the smoke was just almost covering everything. He could hardly see. But Comanche had opened that gate and driven those horses out. Of course, they kept going back into the barn. They felt safer there. But he finally got them all driven out, and Uncle Will got there by that time. And he just hugged his horse, and he said, oh, thank you, thank you.
Isn't that an amazing story?
Yeah. He loved horses. Well, he loved all animals, actually. Dogs and cats, everything. They always had pets for the children. He had pets, you know. When he was on the volleyball in New York and on the circuit that went out of there in the summer, then all over to the big cities, he had a pony for him to ride, and he had Teddy that he used on the stage. Teddy had some special socks, shoe kind of things made, so he wouldn't slide on that wooden stage floor. His buddy would rush in on horseback, and Will would rope him with one or two ropes or whatever his trick was. And he'd use that horse and rider in his act. They all traveled in the coach on the train when they moved from city to city. They would get them out, and every morning they'd go out there and ride wherever they could, loving his horses.
He did really love horses. And what were the names of all of those?
Comanche was the one that saved the other horses. He had Soap Suds, and he had Teddy. Teddy was the little pony that his friend rode in the act on the vulnerable stage. But Soap Sud was one of his last and a favorite. Today, we have the statue of Will on Soap Suds here on the ground of the Will Rogers Memorial. The second one is down in the Will Rogers Center at Fort Worth. Eamon Carter had it made, and the other one is out at Lubbock at Texas Tech. Eamon Carter, I found out when I went to Fort Worth in April of 08, Eamon had his place there, but he never had a formal dedication or a ceremony for it. No one was ever, in his opinion, good enough to unveil that. And he wasn't going to unveil it because he put it there. So finally, along comes Ike Eisenhower. And he decided he's the man. He was born in Texas, and he led us through the war and all. So he asked him if he'd come and unveil, and he said, sure. They had a very formal ceremony, and Eisenhower unveiled Soap Sud and Will Rogers in that park in front of the center.
Sounds like that's the way it should have been done anyway. Uh-huh. Right?